Hello, welcome to the Well Woman podcast. My name is Sam and I'm here with Dr. Laura. Today we're going to be talking about something that all those young kids be doing. And that is vaping. So it's important to know the difference between vaping and e-cigarettes. And I learned this a hard way when I approached somebody and said they were vaping and they were instantly insulted. So, have you ever vaped before or e-cigaretted before, Laura?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Yes, of course.
My husband does, and I literally hate it.
Oh yeah, vapes or e-cigarettes?
Vapes. However, you'll notice that the common denominator between e-cigarettes and vapes is usually nicotine. Like they're usually in both, whether or not you're vaporizing marijuana or not. Usually they all have nicotine, as far as I know.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's interesting. But it's important to first understand the little bit of a difference. A lot of time it's a little bit to do with the device itself, and it can be due to the way things are heated up. So this is basically, so e-cigarettes were created to look and feel like a cigarette, right? And so when the e-cigarette is engaged, you're pressing the power button, or in some cases you can just inhale, and the battery heats an element. And so this is a small component. It contains a heating coil wrapped in something called polyfill, and the polyfill wrapping soaks up that e-liquid so that when it's heated, it turns into vapor for inhalation. And this all happens in a few seconds. And so vaporizers use a rechargeable module combined with an interchangeable e-liquid. So usually an electronic cigarette will kind of be set how it is, whereas a vaporizer, you can actually add liquid. So you can like change your flavors and things like that. Vaporizers have a longer battery life. They're larger than an e-cigarette. Again, there's op different options and liquids available when it comes to vaporizers. And they work much the same way. We have a rechargeable battery, heats up an element, turns the vapors, basically the liquid, into a vapor, and then we breathe it in. Again, unlike e-cigarettes, most vaporizers actually use a tank to hold the liquid. And then as the tank gets low, you can just add liquid, like I said, and you add nicotine strength to the tank. So they're pretty much like they're very similar, but there are differences in the actual functionality.
Yeah, definitely. Like I've seen those e-cigarettes. They're like kind of cool, to be honest.
Oh yeah, coolest.
They're pretty cool, all the kids are saying. But they like light up at the end, so they're kind of
Yes.
like it's just really like high tech as far as I'm concerned. But anyways, so you're talking about this fluid in there. So what's in that fluid? What's in the vaporizer?
And honestly, I think it depends. The key core components you'll find in most of them. So from this is basically what I'm going to read you some information from a vaping website. So you'll notice a completely biased source, and then I'll tell you what I've actually found in the research with respect to the fluids. But basically, they take vegetable glycerin, which is made into an alcohol. They take propylene glycol. They take flavorings. So I'm going to use that term loosely, and they take nicotine. So that's like the core components of it. So let's start with the vegetable glycerin. So this can be up to 80% of it can be vegetable glycerin. And so that's how e-cigarettes have gone from producing those big fumes. Like, when you see someone vaping, you have those big fumes. It's because of the vegetable glycerin content. And so, according to this vaping website, VG is what we're going to call it, is a non-toxic, colorless liquid with no smell but a sweet taste. It's thick and viscous, which means, if you have like a small filter or whatever, I'm not really sure of the logistics of it, but it basically makes big clouds of smoke. So you have to have a certain device that can like allow that to happen, because sometimes it'll be too thick to like this like the smoke, not the smoke, but you know what I mean? That cloud will be too thick. So you need specific liquid concentrations. So basically they're saying that a lot of common products actually contain this VG, and it's used in the food industry as a sweetener. It's added to some foods to keep it moist. Scientists have studied it for years, and it's never been linked to any health problems. So that's what this website says. With respect to the propylene glycol, basically most of what isn't in wasn't isn't VG in your liquid is probably propylene glycol or PG. So basically, depending on the liquid, you're looking at the ratio of VG to PG, basically, and that's gonna determine the viscosity of your fluid. And so they're both alcohols. They're both nearly odorless. PG doesn't get propylene glycol. It does get added to foods to keep them moist. Propylene glycol is in antifreeze. So oh. That's interesting. And there have been some, according to them, there have been some minor health issues linked to propylene glycol, but it's been studied since the 40s and they classified it as generally safe. Swallowing or inhaling it won't do you any harm. A small percentage of people are sensitive. So if you have a liquid high in PG, switch to one with more VG. So they're just giving you the ins and outs of it all. And then they say flavorings. So one of the best things about vaping is the wide choice of delicious tasting juices. And that all comes down to the flavoring.
You sound so sold.
Yeah. And so they're saying that if there's any health concerns about vaping, it comes down to just the flavorings. I would disagree. However, there's some ingredients that are safe to eat, but not to inhale. So things like diacetyl. And I'm sure there's a ton more, but they're saying that the industry has done well at eliminating the additives that there are worries about. They're saying don't use food flavorings from the supermarket. So they're saying don't buy food flavorings and put them in your vape because some of them aren't meant to be inhaled, which like, no. And they're saying stick to flavors from because they've been elected for maximum inhalation safety. Again, I don't know if I agree with this, but again, this is all the information from this straight off this vaping website.
Mm-hmm.
Nicotine. Finally, most liquids contain nicotine. This is what makes vaping such an effective substitute for smoking. You can satisfy your nicotine cravings without having to set fire to tobacco leaves. Nicotine also gives a good throat hit. So it is important you try higher nicotine liquids. Although it gets a lot of bad publicity, nicotine is actually a very safe drug. It's the smoke from the cigarettes that cause harm, not the nicotine. It is toxic in high doses, but there's really no chance of poisoning yourself by vaping. Long before you get to a dangerous level, it will make you feel slightly nauseous and give you a headache. Perfect. Vapers and smokers are very good at getting just as much nicotine as they need and no more. How? How do they measure this?
Oh my goodness. That sounds like, so convincing.
But, like, if you're a vapor or smoker, don't worry. You're good at figuring out the nicotine you need and not a bit more. Okay, like, that's fine. And so it's saying it's usually best to avoid e-liquids that contain anything apart from these four ingredients. So any vitamins, coloring, or supplements like caffeine, they're not going to do anything for the quality of the vape. And we don't know if they've been selected for inhalation safety. But if you stick to the ingredients listed here, you can look forward to a low risk and enjoyable vaping experience. And so you can see why, I mean, young kids it's really popular with young kids.
Uh-huh.
And you can see why, because if you're going to buy vape and you're looking at this website, like with all of those things I just read,
yeah.
What would turn you off of it?
No, totally. Sounds Nothing. Like a great activity.
Yeah, exactly. So, what the actual experts say. So basically I've scoured kind of the research and like, again, with this topic, like many topics we talk about, there isn't a lot of long-term research. So I'll start by saying that there isn't a lot of long-term research. These are very, very new. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to wait till 50 years down the road till people say like conclusively that, yeah, they cause cancer or yeah, they do this or yeah, they impact fertility or yeah, like the big things we're talking about. We have to wait for that, which is, in my opinion, pretty scary with something that isn't necessary. And another thing I have is that right now we're in kind of a movement of the anti-cigarette smoking movement. Yeah. So what's happening is you can't smoke cigarettes like certain distance from buildings, certain distance from schools. You can't smoke it indoor pretty much anywhere, at least in Ontario. Mm-hmm. A lot of places are really ruling it out. Europe is like a different ball game, so you can like smoke in bars, but literally they're exiling smoking, cigarette smoking, and a lot of places aren't considering vaping. And so now what's happening is people who wouldn't have smoked in a scenario are vaping in that same scenario.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen that myself. I have a friend who smokes cigarettes, but she's now opted to e-cigarettes because she can smoke them inside the house and you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And you can do them. So I find that even like you might actually be doing it more than you would have been smoking a cigarette.
True. Yeah.
So it's hard. So, okay. First of all, let's start with there are few, if any, studies of the safety of heating and inhaling propylene glycol and glycerin. So again, people aren't drinking these liquids. So at the vaping website, they mentioned that it has propylene glycol and glycerin, and they've been shown proven safe, and they're in a bunch of supplements and they're in a bunch of medicines, which is true. However, we haven't looked at the safety of vaping and heating up these things and inhaling them. So like, that's the problem. That's the first thing is we actually don't know what happens because anyone who's taken chemistry 101 knows that substances change when we freeze them, when we burn them, when we dry them, like substances change, and whether that's harmful or not, it really hasn't been studied. So that's the first thing.
Yeah, that's a great point.
The second thing is the researchers basically looked. So in one of the studies I looked at, they vaporized liquids and they basically found, so in these vaporizers, they found a significant level of 31 harmful chemical compounds, including two that have never been previously found in e-cigarette vapor. One of them was propylene oxide and glycidol, which are both probable carcinogens. So again, of the solvents, so we're taking, yes, we have flavorings. Yes, we have propylene glycol. Yes, we have vegetable glycerin and nicotine. But when these are vaped, not only alone, but together, are they causing other harmful compounds by mixing together while being heated?
Yeah, totally.
Right? That's like a surefire way to blend substances. In any chemistry class you've ever done, you heat things to blend them, right?
Yeah. Change state, right? From a gas, it changes the chemical composition.
Absolutely. So that's the main thing. It's like, wow, these are things that we've looked at it in food additives. Okay, it's part of a supplement. Propylene glycol, I've read in quite a few low quality, I'll say, but supplements. It's usually not in a high quality supplement because there's no reason for it to be there. But anyways, okay, so the FDA said it's not harmful in the small amounts that it's in, let's say, a supplement. However, is it safe being vaporized? Again, we don't know. The other thing is, like I mentioned, the mixture of the flavoring and the propylene glycol has been shown to lead to the formation of acetals or acetals. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but anyways, these have been shown to activate irritation receptors, predisposing users to the same potential dangers as traditional cigarettes. And this was a study done November 2018.
Wow.
So again, like I mentioned before, and like you just said, we're changing the chemical composition of something when we're heating things and we're blending things together while we're heating them. So it's not like we're looking at, okay, propylene glycol, even if, let's say, we heat propylene glycol how we do it in a vaporizer and we breathe it in and it's not harmful. But now we're looking at propylene glycol plus whatever's in the flavoring plus vegetable glycerin. Like, what is it turning into? And they found that it actually leads to the formation, like you said, of something else. That those something else can actually irritate, activate irritation receptors.
Wonderful.
And so if we look at the specific ingredients now, let's look at nicotine, which they said is the safest drug on the planet, like safest ever. And so nicotine is the addictive ingredient. So addictive, first of all, we're talking about cigarettes versus e-cigarettes.
Youth, right? Like these are targeted towards youth. I'm sorry, but they are. And I've used them before and they are so, like, I hate to say this, but they're fun, you know, like fun. They're entertaining to use. Like you just inhale.
You can do it anywhere.
And you get these big clouds of smoke and they taste good. And it's like, what is not to like about this other than the negative health effects? But like, it is a fun thing to do. And so like when you said there that most of these have nicotine, that actually surprised me because I do ask a lot of youth, does it have nicotine? Like, do they even know? Right. Like,
yeah, they probably don't.
This is just like the flavoring or whatever, but I'm sure they probably do have nicotine in them.
Most of them do, to be honest. And a lot of them, like, they're not looking at the ingredients and seeing. And the other thing is, yes, you're right. They're targeted towards youth. And here's the thing. Like I said, we're in this like anti-cigarette movement where a lot of young kids used to smoke. When I was in high school, it was like moving out, but there were still people that smoked cigarettes. And now it's like seen as like kind of gross and dirty for young kids. Young kids don't want to smoke, but they'll vape.
Oh yeah, I have lots of friends who vape, and they these jewels, like they're called
Yes.
jewels. They're
Yes.
so popular, and everybody has been on them at all times. And I'm just like, okay, like fair enough.
Yeah, and like you're saying you're friends, but like we're not that young. I'm talking about
No,
high
I'm talking
school.
about people that are in nursing school with me.
Oh,
Yeah, like a
right.
lot of nursing
Yeah.
students. I mean,
Right.
younger
I
than
didn't.
me,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
there, I know about 5 people in my class who have a dual. So,
Yep. And when
and
you
they're
think
in
about
the
it
nursing school.
in nursing, again, you have to go a certain distance from the hospital to smoke. But do you have to vape? I don't know.
Well, and I think that a lot of places are actually changing that too, because I've noticed even on the airplanes. I remember like 2 years ago, I was on a flight, and this guy in front of me had this like old school vaporizer, like, you know, when they were huge and like big clunky
Yeah.
thing. And he was just vaping the whole trip, and
Oh
it
my God.
was driving me nuts because it had this odd, like, weird chemical scent to
Smell.
it, and it was driving me nuts. But I didn't have anything to say to him. Like, it wasn't. You know, like I was in a public space, like nobody was bringing it up. So like I kind of just sat there and took it. But now I've noticed within the last year or so that they've actually started using that in their beginning spiel, you know, like when they get on the plane, they say no cigarettes, no vaping. Like they do include vaping now because I guess it's become a thing, right?
It's become
So,
such an issue.
yeah.
And so on top of that, again, like he said, nicotine's so safe. And in reality, nicotine stimulates the central nervous system. It raises blood pressure, it raises heart rate and respiration rate. When nicotine enters the brain, it releases the feelings of pleasure. It's that dopamine. It's like any addictive substance. And makers tend to offer their products in varying ranges of nicotine content. So you can actually get from, so like I said, some of them don't have nicotine. You can get none, but you can get up to 36 milligrams per milliliter. And while not considered a carcinogen, it is addictive and it primes the brain to become addicted to other substances. And so what does that do? And like we mentioned, if we have kids who may not have otherwise smoked, they're now vaping. Their vaping may contain nicotine. We're priming that dopamine response for possibly, I don't know, other drugs later on.
Well, and also, like, not even drugs, but even smoking. Like,
Yep.
if they're addicted to nicotine, then what's going to stop them from smoking a cigarette, right? So then you do have that carcinogen. So I don't know. It's hard to say, right?
Yeah. And so that's nicotine. Secondly, let's look at the flavorings. And so recent research showed that there's over 7,000 flavors that exist for vaping, including like cherry, coconut, berry blast, apple, sweet tart, cinnamon. Like you can even get tobacco flavor. Like that kind of defeats the purpose. So it's hard to list all of the chemicals, but like I said, and actually this said on the vaping website that one chemical stands out, it's diacetyl. This is used to create a buttery flavor in popcorn, and this chemical is believed to be perfectly safe to ingest, but there's mounting evidence that it can actually cause something known as popcorn lung. So they talk about vaping, and this is the chemical that can cause popcorn lung. So again, we have to be careful what chemicals are used in our flavorings, and that's just one listed. That's just one that we know of. We don't know what other chemicals are using, depending on what companies, where's the standardization. We don't really know.
It's crazy.
The other thing is the propylene glycol. So this is, remember we talked about PG. And so the FDA views it as safe, and it's used to make artificial smoke or fog for performances. However, it's been shown to irritate the lungs and the eyes. And again, if we're using it in a fog machine or for like a small amount of time, like is that the same as if we're heating it up to inhale directly into our lungs? I don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then so that's kind of the off information of all of it, right? Like again, there's no long-term studies and we don't know at the chemical constituents that it is if it's safe or not.
Yeah, so would you say that it has less chemicals than cigarettes based on that, or if it's quote unquote healthier than smoking?
It's interesting because again, like looking like short-term effects, long-term effects, I basically am compiled a little bit of the research that I found. And so for one, like I said, and like I'll say again, no long-term safety data of the inhaling propylene glycol, so we don't know. But there is some short-term data suggesting that e-cigarettes may cause airway irritation. And in a small study of infrequent cannabis users, so remember how I mentioned you can actually vape marijuana, research has shown that compared with smoking cannabis, vaping it actually increased the rate of short-term anxiety, paranoia, memory loss, and distraction when doses were the exact same. So there is something we said about smoking something versus vaping something, and again, how that changes the chemical composition and how that impacts your brain. So unsure if it's less chemicals. It might be different chemicals. Are they healthy? Are they not? I don't know. And so this one study actually looked in, so November 2016, they wanted to simulate what happens in a person's mouth while vaping. So they basically created the conditions of the cells in your mouth, and they created the conditions where they were inhaling, let's say. And so they basically looked at the mouth cells and how they responded, and if there was cell death or whatever based on vaping. And so their conclusions were, although it doesn't contain tar compounds like regular cigarette smoke, it exposes the mouth tissues and the respiratory tract to compounds produced by heating vegetable glycerin, propylene glycol, and nicotine aromas in the liquid. The cumulative effects of this cell damage have not yet been documented, but they are worrying. Damage to the defensive barrier in the mouth can increase the risk of infection, inflammation, and gum disease. Over the long term, it also may increase the risk for future cancer. And that, again, has to be investigated in the future.
Wow. Yeah, so there's still just a lot that we don't know about it, right?
There's a lot that we don't know. And so some people look at vaping as a way to quit cigarette smoking. And so looking at that as a comparative, it basically, so again, we're looking at the thermal decomposition of glycerin and propylene glycol. As I had mentioned before, it actually leads to the emission of toxic chemicals such as acrolein and formaldehyde. And so advocates of e-cigarettes say that the emissions are much lower than conventional cigarettes, so that you're better off using e-cigarettes. And so one of the researchers actually said that it might be true for certain users, for example, longtime smokers that cannot quit. But the problem is just because, like, it doesn't mean they're healthy, right? Like, they're both, like, regular cigarettes, we know they're super unhealthy. But are e-cigarettes healthy, or would it just be better to find a way to quit, right? And so they wanted to look at the comparison. A conventional cigarette emits 400 to 650 micrograms of acrolein per cigarette. And so this accounts for both mainstream and sidestream emissions. And assuming about 20 puffs on an e-cigarette is equivalent to smoking a conventional cigarette, the total emissions of acrolein for an e-cigarette was about 90 to 100 micrograms. So, I mean, not as much, but definitely not nothing. And also, we don't know how much of this acrolein causes damage and what type of DNA damage and what to what extent.
Yeah, definitely. And like I know when I was smoking, I would smoke cigarettes and I would
Yep,
vape. So,
exactly.
'cause to be honest with you, when I was vaping, it wasn't as potent, I found, like as smoking a cigarette. So like I
Yep.
would sit inside and vape, and then when I went outside, I would smoke a cigarette, and then I would kind of go back and forth because it wasn't the same. So like
Yeah.
it doesn't necessarily mean that I was consuming more of anything when I was vaping.
Yeah. Exactly. And then in addition, they wanted to test, because these are devices and they're being heated and whatever, they wanted to test the effects due to device aging. So they took a single device and they used it and used it and used it, and they found that emissions of the formaldehyde, acetaldehyde, and acrolein increased with usage. And these are all, like I said, either carcinogens or respiratory irritants or a bit of both. And
Interesting.
so as the device aged, who knows what these emissions are going up to, and if they're actually reaching or exceeding the amounts that are coming from cigarettes, right?
Wow, that's a good point. That's something you don't even think about. But like you said, when we start researching this topic and looking 10 years down the road or 20 or 30 years, then we're going to actually see what e-cigarettes and vaping means, right? So.
Absolutely. And then, so another study was interesting because they took sputum samples, so like spit samples, from 15 e-cigarette users, 14 current cigarette smokers, and 15 non-smokers. And they found that e-cigarette users uniquely exhibited significant increases in. So there's a list of things that they had. So some things that they had were certain like white blood cells and things that are important in fighting pathogens. But they also have been shown to contribute to inflammatory lung diseases such as COPD and cystic fibrosis. They also found things called NETs. And so this was in the sputum. These are associated with cell death. And so that's of the tissues of that line the blood vessels and the organs. Again, more research needed, but this was found in their sputum. They also found higher levels of oxidative stress markers. So we know that it's causing something that's causing damage. And they also lastly found in specific mucus secretions, they found markers that were that their overproduction is associated with pathologies, including chronic bronchitis, bronchiectasis, asthma, and wheezing. So, and that was in the sputum. We were comparing cigarette users versus e-cigarette versus non-smokers, and the e-cigarette users specifically had all of these things beyond everyone else. So it's not nothing. The response is not nothing. There is irritation. There is evidence of oxidative damage. Again, do we know that that's going to cause eczema, or sorry, eczema, emphysema or chronic, it might cause eczema, who knows?
We don't
But
know.
we don't know. But chronic bronchitis or emphysema, it could, and those markers could lead to the development, or they could not. But should they be there? No. And then they basically, like, so that was kind of the conclusions. And so, interesting is another study found that compared with non-users, e-cigarette users were 56% more likely to have a heart attack and 30% more likely to suffer from a stroke. So again, that's not compared with cigarette smokers. That's compared with non-users. However, that's showing us that it's not nothing. This isn't an inert thing that we're doing. And they found that coronary artery disease and circulatory problems, including blood clots, were also much higher among those who vape. This group is also, well, I, and well, and also they're twice as likely to suffer from anxiety, depression, and other emotional issues as well.
And that's actually what I was just about to say is it's I feel like smoking is one of those issues that comes hand in hand with anxiety, depression, and any, you know, mental health issues. So I almost wonder though, like if there was any influence from those heart attack and strokes, you know, because realistically a lot of people I find who smoke and smoke excessively are people who are having mental health issues. So they might have like severe depression or high anxiety that causes more stress on their bodies, right?
Oh,
But
absolutely. And so they actually, in this one study, they were able to take out the confounding factors such as like body mass index and diet and those sorts of things. But I don't know about the mental health impact. I don't know, because that's a deeper issue. That's a matter of like, why did they start smoking in the first place? And why are they vaping? And how often are they vaping? So that's kind of a hard one to figure out. But all the other confounding factors due to like age and like cardiovascular disease risk were all kind of accounted for in terms of getting everybody to the same baseline,
Definitely.
which
Well,
was
and it
good.
doesn't denote the fact that e-cigarette use is obviously bad. So whether it increases your chances 56% or 46%, either way, you know, it needs to be taken seriously. And we need to try to prevent, you know, youth especially from even starting the habit. Because I feel like that's how it all starts, right? You start with an e-cigarette or a vaporizer, and then you just kind of move on to like natural progression. When those aren't available, when you run out of juice, what's the next thing? It's a cigarette, right? So that's just kind of what I've seen, and ultimately it's kind of sad because smoking was such an issue for me and you know continues to be years later after I've quit. So I just always try to prevent versus you know promote alternatives.
Yeah, and it's hard. It is hard for people to quit. I don't have personal experience with that because I've never been a smoker, but I understand that for a lot of people struggle. And unfortunately, like cigarettes have been around for long enough that they're pretty standardized. They're pretty regulated. Like there's a certain amount of everything in there, whether it's good or bad, it's a certain amount. And so when we look at vaping, can we say the same thing? I don't know of standardization in vaping.
No,
So
definitely. You said there's like 7 or 5,000 different flavors. Like you're
yeah.
not, I guarantee one company isn't producing that many flavors. So
No.
you're essentially going through all these different channels and all these different people are making these fluids, right? So, oh, there's Mowgli.
He wants to be a part of the podcast.
He doesn't want any vapors in the audience.
No.
So I don't know. It just makes you wonder, right? Because like, it's so popular. You see them everywhere. There's so many different brands. Like, how are they all standardized, right? Like, they're not.
No, so. Exactly. So I think that, like, take-home point is, again, I wouldn't be using this to help quit smoking. Mm-hmm. I would actually be more inclined to do something else. If I had to do something, I'd probably do something like mm-hmm. the patch or something else that was obviously nicotine dose decreasing. Mm-hmm. I'd rather do something that's already standardized instead of the, you have to think the lungs are a very fickle tissue. They're a very sensitive tissue. And once we've damaged our lungs, we can't really get that back. So we need to make sure that, like, anything that we're inhaling, again, we don't have, like, anything we're ingesting or consuming. Fortunately, we have a liver, right? Mm-hmm. And so the liver processes it and filters it out and makes sure that we're not really being exposed, because that's what the whole first pass effect is, right? Mm-hmm. A drug goes through, it goes through the liver, our body deals with it, it takes out the crap that we're not supposed to have, and then the rest goes into our blood, our bloodstream, and acts on our body. And when we're inhaling something, we're directly going to the lungs. The lungs don't have a protection by the mm-hmm. liver.
Yeah.
Definitely. So that's what I think of as well when we're thinking about that. So I would say my take home point is I wouldn't do vaping. I think in 10, 15 years, we're going to have a lot more research come out, and I don't think it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, thank you, Laura, for all of that information as per usual. Thanks for listening to the Well Woman podcast. I'm Sam.
And I'm Laura. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.